All righty, hour number two of our radio program. Coming up in a few moments, we will discuss if the Dallas Cowboys should trade Micah Parsons and if the Pittsburgh Steelers should trade T.J. Watt after the Cowboys and the Steelers just made a trade for George Pickens. But first, I got two stories. They have nothing to do with sports, but I'm curious what your ruling will be on this. One, the question is, does it surprise you? The other, it's what do you think will happen here? So last night, you know, I made dinner last night. I made a little like potatoes and some broccoli, and I had a little chicken sausage, and I put it into a bowl, a little healthy dinner that I wanted to have last night before what's going to be a big weekend. Obviously, Sunday is Mother's Day, first and foremost. Mom, if you're listening, happy Mother's Day. We're going to one of our favorite Italian restaurants on Long Island in Menino's. So very excited to go see the family and all that jazz, and happy Mother's Day to my mom. But anyway, so I made dinner, and I'm someone, I don't know, it's like, I don't want to say it's like a weird quirk of mine, but because it's me just being clean, but I can't go to bed, or I don't like to go to bed if there are dishes in the sink. I think, right, after you enjoy your meal, you got to clean up, you go and you put the dishes in the dishwasher. So I go to put all my dishes in the dishwasher last night, and I went to go run the dishwasher, and the dishwasher's not turning on, which I've never seen happen before. The dishwasher just not turn on and have zero power whatsoever. So in my building, I put in a maintenance request. They have a maintenance man, and I just got the alert that the maintenance man came into the building and he fixed the dishwasher. So I was hoping, right, you run the dishwasher overnight, and then in the morning you wake up, you take out the dishes, and you put them away. Now, I got plans tonight, and, you know, there's different settings on the dishwasher. You could do an hour, you could do 2 hours, you could do 4 hours. For whatever reason, I like to do the four-hour setting. Get those dishes extra clean. So I'm going to get home at 6, and here's what I'm wondering. I left the detergent pods in the dishwasher, right? This guy fixed the dishwasher. Yes or no, Stu? Do you think the maintenance man saw the dishes in the dishwasher after fixing the dishwasher? And I guess the only way that you could fix the dishwasher is to run a cycle of it. Do you think he actually fixed the dishwasher and is running a cycle? My dishes are going to be clean? Or was it just, hey, he got the power on, the power's back on, then he knows it works, and he's like, sayonara. I'm out of here. I don't need to do Zach Gelb's dishes.
Yeah, I think he got the power to work, noticed the lights turned on, and that was it. I think you're not going to have clean dishes when you get home.
That's disappointing. Samter, what's your ruling here? What do you think's going to go down here?
You know what? It's an optimistic Friday. You got clean dishes. You're ready to go. You're going to have a delicious meal when you get home. He even cooked for you afterwards.
Oh, that's and plated nice. It and he put wined it right and dined me. I'm not even counter. There? Oh, that's awesome. I like this version of Samter. I think we need more positive Samter, more feel-good Friday Samter more often. Alrighty, so that's story number one. Number two, one of my friends from college calls me the other day, and he goes, I'm going to Zachary Lazarus's bar mitzvah this weekend. And I'm like, what? My name is Zachary. My middle name is Lazarus. My last name is Gelb. And when you got bar mitzvahed on the invitations, they would, for some reason, just include your first name and your middle name. Like, it'd be like, you know, we call you to the celebration of Zachary Lazarus, right? So I go to my friend, like, well, what's the joke here? What don't I get? Because you would agree, right? Zachary Lazarus is not a name that you just hear very often.
No, definitely not.
So his girlfriend's cousin is named first name Zachary, middle name Lazarus. And he never told me about it until he's going to this bar mitzvah. And my friend said he knew about this for at least a year, year and a half. So is that just bizarre to you? I will ask this. If you have a friend and, right, you BS with your buddies all the time, and your friend knows that his girlfriend has a cousin named Zachary Lazarus, which is the same name as me, and it's not like it's Mike Smith or something like that. You think it's a little weird that my friend never told me that his cousin, up until now, had the name Zachary Lazarus and waited till he's going to this kid's bar mitzvah. By the way, happy bar mitzvah to Zachary Lazarus. Hopefully as good a bar mitzvah as mine, because you have to uphold to the standard of the greatness of a Zachary Lazarus like myself.
Yeah, when you first started telling this, I was going to assume that he didn't know the middle name. So But the fact that he knew the middle name and knew what your middle name is and didn't say anything, that's a little weird. Yeah.
Like for a year and a half, he knew this.
So like my name is very like Stuart Michael isn't
Of course.
Yeah, it's my, like I wouldn't expect someone to say that. Like, but yours is more unique.
Santa, what's your ruling on this?
I mean, are you sure your friend knew your middle name?
Yes. Trust me. He knew my middle name.
All right. Well, that's weird.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing also. He could just be, like, absent-minded and just didn't put two and two together. And then as he's going there, someone mentioned it. He's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way,
I look at an invitation. I barely pay attention.
Can I ask a question? Is the last name Gelb, do you find it common?
No.
Santer?
More common than Samter or...
Kovacs? Well, not really.
Kovacs is fairly common,
I think,
also.
It's pretty common in Hungary.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
And I also think a lot of people listen, they think you're related to Sandy Koufax.
Yes, I've gotten that, yes.
Yeah, especially if you say it quickly, like, oh, Stu Kovacs, something like that. So I had this lady message me on Instagram the other day, and I haven't gone through my request messages in a while, which let me tell you, oh, that could be a dark place. A lot of people don't like my takes. A lot of people don't like me. A lot of people don't like my opinions, but whatever. So I had a lady reach out to me, older lady, and no, she's not trying to make me her Jordan Hudson. It's not the reverse Bill Belichick going on here. And she said, hey, Zach, my mom's last name was Gelb. It's not a very common name. I wonder if we're related. I'm from New York City. So I reached out to her and I said, what's your mother's name? And I'm not going to say the name on the air, but she said who her mother was and who her father was. So I reached out to my dad. I said, do we know anyone with the first name that has the same last name? I asked my grandpa too. They said, no one knows. So I wrote back and I said, hey, I asked my dad and my grandpa. They don't know anyone with those first names that share our same last name. So I doubt we're actually related. And you know, some people don't have big family. So like I had a little sympathy, things like that. And she said, thanks for checking. I do not know any Gelbs at all. And I said, oh, actually, it's more common than I think. Like there's a guy, Matt Gelb, in Philadelphia, who's a writer that everyone thinks we're related. No relation at all. People think Steve Gelbs and I are related. And I go, that's not even the same last name. He's just my plural brother, I guess you could say, because he has an S on his last name. So anyway, a few weeks go by, don't think anything. I then got another message from this lady. And it's not in an English language, but it's a video of Bill Clinton. And it's like a political video. So on Instagram, if you ignore your requests, you just don't see any of it. But once you respond to them, it either gets thrown into two categories, which is general or primary. So anytime this time, any message this lady sends me now pops up in my messages. So I'm like, all right, lady, like I was being nice to you. I am not a political person. I don't now need your political takes whatsoever. I don't know if this is spam. So I restricted her. So now I don't see any of her messages. But that was just something the other day that I was just like, all right, here I am being a nice guy, trying to see if we're actually related. You know, maybe we invite you over for Thanksgiving or something and give you our signature lasagna and all that stuff. And now I'm getting political messages from you. So yeah, it just shows you it doesn't really pay to be nice, folks. That's what I keep on learning the more and more I live through life. Anywho, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys, they made a trade the other day for George Pickens. It made me think, how could we continue this story, right? He gave the initial reaction, is the juice worth the squeeze with George Pickens? Then the next day, who's more likely to make the playoffs? Is it the Steelers or the Cowboys? I'm now looking at two big pass rushers in T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons, both who haven't got new deals yet. I look at T.J. Watt. He has shown a little vague and ambiguous frustration. Remember, he had that Instagram post with the peace sign. What was it? Probably like 2 weeks ago, I would say now. And Micah Parsons has made it clear on this show. He said to us he has no intention, as long as he's getting taken care of leaving the Dallas Cowboys. So you look at the Steelers, they're stuck. They've reached a stalemate of their franchise where they're not horrible, but they're not anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl. They are your 8, 9, 10, sometimes even 11-win team a year that come playoff time, you know they're more of a pretender than a contender. You look at the Dallas Cowboys. This is an organization that is associated with drama, 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 drama. We know they have lost their way, and the drama Dallas choking Cowboys don't evaluate success anymore. based off wins and losses, there's a reason why they haven't been to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl since 1995 because of the way that Jerry Jones runs this organization. So I'll ask you this. With both these teams really not going anywhere, and maybe both these teams make the playoffs this year, but neither team will be an actual bona fide Super Bowl contender. Let me go around the room here first before I give my opinion. Let's start off with Micah Parsons, who's younger. Stu, if you were the Cowboys, would you say, we already paid Dak, we already paid CeeDee Lamb, we just traded for George Pickens. You know what, Micah Parsons, he's like a 15-sack-a-year guy, but I'm not going to go pay him $40 million a year because whether we pay him or not, we're not going to be a Super Bowl contender with Micah Parsons. What would you do if you were Jerry Jones?
I would re-sign Micah Parsons. I just think that's their best outcome. I don't think it makes them a Super Bowl contender, but I think that outweighs trading him at his age.
Samter, what would you do here with Micah Parsons?
Yeah, if you're going to pay anybody, you pay the pass rusher, and he's 25 years old. So even if they're not a Super Bowl contender right now, he still has a good 5, 6, 7 year window to be an elite pass rusher. So you have time to rebuild the roster around him. I say sign him, absolutely.
So I would sign him, and it's not for any of your reasons. I'm not saying I disagree with your reasons. You guys are coming from a logical standpoint. The question was, like, if I was Jerry Jones, if I was the Dallas Cowboys, would I re-sign him? So,
is it the podcast?
No, hold on. I'll get there. I will get there. I will. Trust me, I am never short on my words. I will give you the entire statement here. I agree. Micah Parsons is young. To Stu and Samter's point, even if you're not ready to win now, you could be ready to win that later, hopefully. And also, like, what are you going to get back if you trade Micah Parsons? 2 first-round picks. Are you going to find a player that is as good as Micah Parsons? The odds are usually stacked against you in finding a player who could just be close to being what Micah Parsons is, let alone just as good, if not better. And I do think Micah Parsons is top 5 pure pass rusher in the league. But I'm Jerry Jones, right, in this case. So get me out that, like, McDonald's sandwich. You put all the salt on it, which is absolutely ridiculous, and just say stupid things. There has never been a player more perfect that has worn the Dallas Cowboys uniform in the last 20 years that Jerry Jones judges based off success. So yes, it is a little bit about the podcast. We all know Micah Parsons is a great player. We all know he's a heck of a player. He's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. But it's one thing to be that, and then it's also to be what everything Jerry wants. Someone that is unapologetic with his opinions, someone that gives his opinions, and someone that he creates a lot of drama. Now, I don't think the drama that Micah Parsons creates is detrimental, but he's always in the news. And that's what Jerry Jones cares about. Are the Cowboys always in the news? And they're usually in the news a lot of times because of things that Micah Parsons says. So for that reason, I would pay him. Now, TJ Watt's 30. The Pittsburgh Steelers are stuck, where they're still viewed as a good franchise, a respectable franchise, but they are nowhere close to your granddaddy's Pittsburgh Steelers, where that organization was synonymous with winning Super Bowls. And there's a reason they're tied with my New England Patriots for the most Super Bowls in the history of the National Football League. Samter, if you were running the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you were Omar Khan, if you were Mike Tomlin, would you trade TJ Watt? Or would you give him the extension?
So it's difficult. I have to know what Aaron Rodgers is doing first.
Okay, he's joining you.
If Aaron Rodgers is joining me, I am not trading TJ Watt yet. I could give him the extension, and he's still valuable, so I could trade him after giving him the extension.
Fair point.
But if I'm bringing in Aaron Rodgers, I need to have the best team around me. But if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come, or if he comes for 1 year, maybe I trade TJ Watt next year. Because at his age and his value still, kind of like what Belichick always used to do, get rid of the guy a year or two early, get huge return, and then watch his decline on someone else's team. TJ Watt eventually is going to start declining, and it's going to happen soon. So you might as well maybe get one more year out
of
him with Rodgers.
When you say soon, what do you mean soon?
I would say like 3 more years.
Okay.
2 or 3 more years, you're going to see that decline. And so if you can get one more year out of him with Rodgers, and then once next year comes and you have either a rookie quarterback or Mason Rudolph or whoever else you're going to bring in, then get rid of him, get a first-round pick or something, or you know whatever else you're going to get out of him, and watch him decline over the next few years on someone else's team.
Yeah, I still think TJ Watt could still have like 3 to 4 more elite years in the NFL would be my guess. Stu, what would you do here?
I would not trade him yet, but similar to what Samter said, let's say even if they do have Rodgers and they don't make the playoffs this year, maybe they let go of Tomlin, maybe you know they're stuck in the middle. They're not bottoming out per se, but they're kind of stuck and they're getting a new coach. They don't have a quarterback after this year. Then I would very strongly consider trading him.
Not only would I trade T.J. Watt, if I'm T.J. Watt, and I've been saying this since the Super Bowl, I would be begging to get out of Pittsburgh. Because here I am in the prime of my career, and I get it. The Steelers are a stable organization. The Steelers are a respectable organization. The Steelers are a very good organization. You could go to other places, and you will miss Pittsburgh immensely. But you should do what Myles Garrett failed to do. And that's not only get traded, but get traded to an actual Super Bowl contender. Myles Garrett had the right thought. But then he saw $40 million and he was like, oh, Cleveland, I'll take that and I'll pretend like Cleveland's actually good at football. And I get it. The Steelers aren't as bad as the Cleveland Browns are. They have stability. But if I'm T.J. Watt, I would want out. Now, here's me answering the question. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'd trade him too. You got an aging defense. You have a great player. You could get two first-round picks back. I understand you could use the same argument I just used for Micah Parsons. You're going to get a player just as good as T.J. Watt? Probably not. But he's 30 right now. And to Samter's point, even if they get Aaron Rodgers, he's there for a year, and then you're in the same boat next year where you don't have a quarterback. So if you're going to get rid of George Pickens, who's not as good of a player as T.J. Watt and is not as good of a teammate as T.J. Watt, but if you're willing to get rid of George Pickens, I think Pittsburgh needs an actual rebuild. They do this half-ass rebuild where they just buy cheap products and then, you know, they have a very good foundation on the house and then they're surprised when they have to renovate it each and every year and they make the house look presentable. But then when you get inside the house, you're like, eh, this house isn't as nice as it looks from the outside. It's really ugly on the inside and everything's like breaking. You got a sink running. You got a dishwasher that won't even turn on. Oh, and now it sounds like my apartment or something like that. I did that intentionally, folks. But anyway, I would trade T.J. Watt. I think it's time for both parties to get a divorce where it could be good for the Steelers and then it could also be good for T.J. Watt. Should the Cowboys trade Micah Parsons? Should the Pittsburgh Steelers trade T.J. Watt? What say you? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will come on back and we will update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief and that will happen next. So we have a new Pope, by the way. And I saw two things here about the Pope. One was some fake news about the new Pope. The second was when it was getting announced who the new Pope was, that in St. Peter's Square, there was a Met fan with a Mets hat. It turns out that guy is from not only Long Island. I grew up in the Dix Hills, Comac area. The hometown is Dix Hills. My high school, though, is Comac. WFAN found out who the guy was. It's this guy, Eddie of Comac. Now, I don't know if I know Eddie or if I know any of Eddie's family members, but I thought it was crazy that Eddie and Comac was at St. Peter's Square as the new Pope was announced, and he's wearing the Mets hat. So I thought that was funny. Now, the other thing, and this was big in Chicago, where the Pope is from. A lot of people yesterday were claiming that the Pope was a Cubs fan. The Pope's brother was bewildered by that claim and said, I don't know how that's the case. He's a Sox fan. So Carlos with a K, who was blowing up my phone yesterday, talking about how the Mets are going to get the snot kicked out of them by the Chicago Cubs. And we're actually going to the game together Saturday evening, Carlos and I. And I'm going to spend the entire day with Carlos because we're watching a Knicks game together. And then we're going to go and to the Mets game together. So after 8-9 hours of Carlos with a K, I reached my quota for the month, maybe the year. But Carlos, text after text after text after text, about the Pope being a Cubs fan, and then never corrected himself when it came out that the Pope is a White Sox fan. So I texted Carlos, oh, Cubs, no. Oh, Cubs, no. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs don't got a Pope today. And no response from Carlos with a K about that. No response yet. So I guess he's in mourning that the Pope is a Cubs fan compared to being a fan of the Chicago White Sox. Anyway, without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, it's time to update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right. I was up late watching this game last night between Vegas and Edmonton. Edmonton is now up 2-0. The Oilers on the Golden Knights. They won both games in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. And I'll tell you, Bob Wischusen does a great job on the TV broadcast. I've been saying this since 2022. That Bob Wischusen should be the number one over Sean McDonough, who's got better calling hockey. But since Doc Emmerich has retired, there has been no more electric national voice calling hockey than Bob Wischusen. With all that praise to Bob Wischusen, we will go to the Oilers radio network, where in overtime, it was a criminal stupid penalty. The Oilers ended up not scoring on that five-minute major. But then later on in the extra session, as I'm like, please let this end, please let this end. I want to go to bed, but I'm so locked in on the game. You had Connor McDavid coming down the ice, and he found Leon Draisaitl.
Crank it up the right wing to Perry. Now to McDavid with room. Gets in over the line across. Draisaitl scores! Leon Draisaitl ends the game in overtime.
Out of 10, because I'm a sucker of radio play-by-play calls. Stu, what would you give that out of 10?
That's pretty solid. I'd give it a 7.
Okay. Rookie score, 7.0. Okay. Samter?
Yeah, I was thinking around a 7, 7.5, something like that. Nothing spectacular, but not terrible.
6.5. It was fine. It was a little bit above average. Wasn't anything crazy. It's a game-winning goal in overtime to put your team up 2-0. I need Michigan there. I need the Avalanche guy there. Like, go nuts. I don't think he hit that scale there. All righty, let's hear the Capitals radio network. This was to put them up 1-0 in the game. Remember, Caps are down 0-1 in the series. Ended up tying the game last night. Tying the series up last night as the Capitals win 3-1 up against the Hurricanes. Let's listen up to the Capitals radio network on their first goal of the game.
Mangiapane turned around, and now it's McMichael breaking behind, shooting, he scores! Connor McMichael breaks through the Carolina D. In from the blue line, keeps it low. It's 1-0, Washington.
Now, out of 10, remember, that's not the game-winning goal. That's the first goal of the game. So it doesn't mean really anything at that point in knowing if your team is definitely going to win or not. Stu, what would be your scale on that?
I'd say it's an 8.
Okay. Ooh, wow. Stu likes these just rookie scores. No decimal points or anything. Samter?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I mean, John Walton in general. I mean, we played so much of him during the Ovechkin stuff. He's awesome. That wasn't his best call, but like you said, it was like a 1-0 game.
Totally.
So I'll go like an 8 for the moment.
Okay. I go 7.3. I think it was a good call. Good call. 7.3. All righty, let's hear Steve Kerr on Draymond Green's technical foul last night. Here's the enabler, Steve Kerr.
It's part of Draymond, you know, his the same thing that makes him such a competitor and a winner puts him over the top sometimes. And, you know, we know that. And it's our job to try to help him stay poised, stay composed. But the competition is so meaningful to him that, you know, occasionally he goes over the line.
Ay. All they do is just enable Draymond. And it's like they're a bunch of putty cats when it comes to dealing with Draymond Green. That's just Draymond being Draymond. Draymond punches Jordan Poole in the face. That's just Draymond being Draymond. Draymond lies about Karl Anthony Towns. That's just Draymond being Draymond. Draymond kicks a player in the cojones. That's just Draymond being Draymond. Draymond chokes a player. That's just Draymond being Draymond. Come on. Here is Draymond Green. He lashes out after the game and doesn't like the way he's being portrayed after getting another technical foul.
Look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
I hate when someone is backed into a corner, they make something a race issue that has no business being a race issue. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel about it. I don't think anyone's saying, oh, that's just an angry black guy in Draymond Green. I don't think that's the case. I think they're just sick and tired of what Draymond Green does because he always crosses the line and continuously gets away with it and is never held accountable by his own organization. Like, when I watched last night, I never sat there and said, oh, that's an angry black man in Draymond Green. No, I said, this is what Draymond Green does. Now, for the dopes, the two fans in Minnesota that I guess said something racial to Draymond Green, I don't know what they said. Those fans are idiots, and they should never go to a basketball game again if they said what, you know, something and they crossed the line in a racial tone. But if Draymond is saying the way he's portrayed by whom? The media? I don't think the media is writing. I've never seen someone write about Draymond Green that is like a credible journalist. This is Draymond Green, the angry black guy. Like, I just don't see that. They go, oh, Draymond punched a teammate in the face. Oh, Draymond choked a player. Oh, Draymond kicked a player in the cojones. Oh, Draymond lied about Karl Anthony Towns. That's what I see. And that criticism is fair, Draymond Green. Let's go to Brian Windhorst, ESPN. He says that Draymond actually gets away with technicals.
He probably should have more technicals. It was a restraint showed by the referees. By the way, that's a big complaint across the league, that Draymond gets away with stuff after he commits a flagrant and after he commits a technical. And sometimes even after he gets five fouls, there's a belief that Draymond actually gets too much leeway. This is not my words. This is what people tell me. They say he gets away with too much stuff because the referees don't want to be the one who ejects him or calls a flagrant on, a second flagrant on him, because they know that there's going to be an onslaught.
He's 100% right. That official, Draymond, you think you get portrayed unfairly. You're lucky you didn't get tossed, because you should have got tossed last night with the outburst that you had after you got the technical foul. Let's go to Shams Charania. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and he has an update on this bizarre Kristaps Porzingis illness.
Kristaps Porzingis, my understanding is he's been dealing with a lingering of side effects from the virus that he had in March, and it's something that zapped his energy. It's drained him. He's had to, you know, rely on getting a lot more sleep over the last couple months. He's had to take IVs, immune boosters, I'm told. So he's tried to figure out ways to mitigate it, and they have not been able to, I guess, completely identify which virus could this specifically be.
I have no clue what it is. They say it's not COVID-related. Honestly, if I just heard that clip and you asked me and I knew nothing about Kristaps Porzingis, I would just assume mono. Like, they're describing someone that, like, had mono where your energy's just constantly zapped. And I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek, but this is just bizarre how this has now been over a month and you just seen him pull out of games and no one really has an explanation on what actually is going on. Let's go to Rob Gronkowski. He was on Used to be Toucher and Rich. Now it's Toucher and Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And Rob Gronkowski commented on the Belichick-Jordan Hudson drama.
When you were on the Patriots, the whole goal was to eliminate all the distractions that can possibly happen, you know, while you're on the team. And don't bring those distractions to the team and in the locker room. And we're just looking, you know, down at the program in North Carolina, and it just feels like there's just distractions 24/7, you know, down there, and there's just no football talk at all. So that's what's kind of silly about it, and kind of questioning as well is what happened to eliminate every distraction. But it is what it is, and it's entertainment. It doesn't affect me.
No.
I enjoy, you know, watching the show.
I'll tell you, the former Patriot players love this, because anything they would do that wasn't even deemed a distraction would be told it was a distraction. And I'll tell you, Alex Guerrero, Brady's guy, must love this too, because he was actually banned from the Patriots. You know, Bill should have to talk to Bill about how Bill is acting right now. Because, you know, Belichick would sit down Bill if he could. And this is Belichick in New England now talking to Belichick at UNC and be like, Chapel Hill, Bill, you know, you can't have your honey around the facility. She's not allowed to be your personal publicist. You know, you used to have to answer questions about deflated footballs and murderers that were on your team and Spygate, and you answer those questions fine. Now you're being a knucklehead. because she goes to bed with you and letting her take away from the team, and she's going to interrupt you in an interview. You know, let me just tell you something, Bill. Chapelville, it's time to keep Jordan away from the team, because this is supposed to be about the kids at UNC and getting an education and playing football and getting them to the NFL. And instead, you're employing someone who's more qualified to be on the Real Housewives of New Jersey than she is to be in our football program. All right, Bill, we're going to find you. You know, get on the line. We're also going to make you run. We need Belichick in New England to talk to UNC, Bill. That's what needs to happen. Let's go to Joe Shane. This is on the 2025 NFL Draft Giants Life Show. This is Joe Shane inside the war room trying to trade back up, where he eventually did get a deal done as the Giants scooped back up into the first round at 25 to select Jackson Dart.
Leading up to the draft, it feels like, you know, there were rumors out there that you know, the Giants wanted to move back up into one, and I was getting calls from every GM from pick 18 all the way back, just because everybody assumed that we wanted to move up. So,
you still good to do this?
All week it said he would do this deal, and now he's backing out on us.
But Steelers aren't going to trade with Cleveland, so you're going to go ahead and pick?
All right, but does that tip the hand? Do they have New York's now trying to move up? Yeah, that's going to be too much.
No, this is Chargers.
I can offer Pittsburgh the same deal.
Yeah, so you're going to go ahead and pick?
Okay,
all right. Come on, take the running back. Come on, take the pick. It's more than what we just did here.
All right. Just be patient. Nobody's going to pound the table. We'll be all right.
Nick, okay, so Houston will do the deal.
I also saw something, too, when they did pick Jackson Dart. Brian Daboll looks over to Joe Shane. He's like, good work, Joseph. I just thought that was like the best part of the entire thing. And there goes my news brief sheet. It went right off the desk. Hold on, folks. I was so animated there that I just knocked the news brief sheet right off the desk. All righty. Let's hear Will Howard happy to land with the Steelers.
Everything kind of fell into place, you know, and as the draft went on, you know, you never know where you're going to end up, but you keep a little spot in your heart for where you really want to go, and I had a little soft spot for Pittsburgh. I was hoping in my heart that they picked me.
And then finally, so I guess Tom Brady said he had no really involvement in the Raiders draft process, because a lot of people like myself thought Brady would draft Shedeur Sanders. Skip Bayless, oh my God. What is this cockroach going to say? Let's be real. Let's dust off Skip Bayless. Let's bring him on out. And what he called out Tom Brady for denying involvement on Shedeur. This is a minute and 8 seconds. Oh, my God. I'll see how long I can listen to this. Go ahead.
Tom Brady has called me out. I guess he's called me a liar. So I'm about to call BS on Tom Brady.
Ooh.
Because, Tom, you know, Skip, and I know, everything I said about you and Shedeur Sanders is obviously exactly right. Tom Brady mentored and coached Shedeur Sanders all the way up through high school and through college. Nobody out there outside of Shadur's family knows his game better than Tom Brady. So we're to believe that nobody in the Raiders organization before the draft said, hey, Tom, what's your opinion of Shedeur? Stop it, Tom. Quit lying to us,
Stop
Tom.
Stop it, Skip.
Quit dodging the truth, Tom. I'm just going to say it. I'm calling bullshit on you, because that's utter bullshit. The Raiders would be fools if they didn't ask you your opinion of Shedeur. And obviously, you said no to Shedeur, because they did pass him 7 straight times.
If I was Tom Brady, and this is beneath Tom Brady, but I would get on a video and I would say, Skip, let's find out the truth about this lawsuit that you got going on with FS1 right now, what people are accusing you about. Because I call bull bleep. I want the truth. What's the truth, Skip, if you're all about the truth? That's what I would do if I'm Tom Brady. But I don't think Tom Brady's that petty.
I will say this. I'm not a Skip Bayless fan, but he was making a whole lot of sense there.
And with that, we will toss it over to Rich Ackerman with the latest Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash. Yes, this is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and the MLS Game Preview, Stu's favorite version of soccer, is sponsored by Lowe's. Members get more with My Lowe's Rewards. Don't wait. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Lionel Messi and Inter Miami travel to St. Paul to take on Minnesota. United on Saturday. Inter Miami is coming off a 4-1 victory over the New York Red Bull. Are they the Red Bulls or the Red Bull?
Red Bull.
Oh, just the Red, not Red Bulls?
Just the Red Bull.
Oh,
yeah.
Over the New York Red Bull last weekend, where Messi scored his fourth goal of the season. Let's hear from Trevor Sikkema, who was on the PFF NFL show, and he talked about the most improved team in the NFL for this upcoming season with what transpired in the offseason.
First team that I want to talk about is the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
As this offseason was beginning, they had the worst roster in the league, and I think that right now, they'd be my pick to finish second in the division. This team got so, so much better. A lot like Carolina, they allocated a ton of their salary cap that they had, most salary cap to spend in the NFL this offseason, and they did so by adding a ton of defensive players. Robert Spillane, Harold Landry, Milton Williams, and then they drafted a lot of offensive players. Will Campbell, Jared Wilson, Kyle Williams, Travion Henderson, all of those guys I think could be impact players for them, and I think it looks night and day different as we stand here today. So they had to be my first team that I brought to the table.
Alrighty, so let's go around the room. Most improved team in the NFL from where their roster was at the end of the season to where it is now this late in the offseason on the ninth day of May. Stu?
I will be boring and I will agree with Trevor. I think it is the Patriots.
Ooh.
I like what they've done. They've improved pretty much every part of their team. Obviously, Milton Williams, one of my favorite players. Robert Spillane, someone the Raiders lost,
yeah,
and you guys gained at linebacker.
He used to be the face of your franchise when Antonio Pierce first took over. He was going to be the identity of that defense, not Max Crosby. Robert Spillane.
I know. He's a very good player. So I think, and then obviously you add Stephon Diggs, who I guess you never know what you're going to totally get with him, but it's just a weapon for Drake May, and I think they're going to be a lot better this year. I don't know if they're a playoff team, but they're going to be a lot better.
Yeah, the schedule's not impossible, especially their home schedule. I don't like, though, everyone's praising the Patriots. You know, I kind of like it when we used to be the team that everyone hated and be like, all right, this is going to be the year that they fall off. Now I feel as if I'm getting just set up to fail this year. But I don't have high expectations. If they get 8 wins this year, like 8 or 9 wins, even if they get 7 wins and they're just gritty and they show you signs with Drake May's development that they could actually protect him, and you get some of these younger players that break out, I'll be fine with that. But here's how I'll say it. For the first time in, I would say 2 seasons, I'm excited to watch them. Because I was not optimistic with the Joe Judge, Matt Patricia experiment. I told you that was going to be a failure. And then last year, I knew that team was going to be one of the worst teams in the league. And the highlight of their season was a week 1 victory up against Cincinnati Bengals. So this is the first time in 2 years that I'm actually happy and looking forward to actually watching my Patriots on Sundays. It's been a long, long, long time in just obscurity. 2 years. Oh, geez. I don't even know what to do with myself. Samter, who's your team that you think improves the most this offseason?
I was initially going to go with the Broncos, adding Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga, drafting another corner in the first
round.
Isn't
Greenlaw hurt, though?
He is, and that's kind of why I backed off of it. Because they got Jahdae Barron in the first round, drafted a running back and a wide receiver, all positions of need. So I'm going to go with the Commanders.
Ooh.
Adding Deebo Samuel, Laramie Tunsil in trades, right? Javon Kinlaw they added, Will Harris they added, Jonathan Jones they added. And then, of course, they drafted a tackle, Josh Connerly, in the first round. They added a guard, Sam Cosmi, in the second round. Jalen Lane, who's a fourth round pick, he was on the show with us. We really liked him.
I've been hearing
a lot of great things about Jalen Lane. People who were really high in him, surprised that he dropped that far. And I'm hearing really good things coming out of camp about him also early on. So I think Jalen Lane could be a good, you know, number 3, number 2, potentially once Deebo backs down.
Okay, here is my guy. My guy is going to be, my team, I should say, is going to be the Chicago Bears. I just realized, by the way, why I stuttered there for a second. We weren't supposed to be doing this as the segment here at 4:40.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little bit surprised there for a second. So I was like, oh, wait, now I have to make sure I have my team ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think we're supposed to do this at 5:20, right? Anyway, I looked down at my sheet and I go, I knew what my team was, but I'm just going through it and I'm trying to see what Samter and Stu are going to do. And as I go to jot down your teams, I see that here in this segment, we're supposed to talk about the Maple Leafs going up 2-0. Is this their year? And then go around the room. And what's a sports team that needs to break a curse? And I just realized that with 2 minutes left in this segment. So whatever, no one would have realized, but I thought it was funny. Anyway, I'll give you my team. My team that's improved the most this offseason is the Bears. You got Ben Johnson, the best offensive coach on the market, number one. He is going to try to improve and turn around the career of Caleb Williams, which after the first year, he wasn't all that, and he wasn't even the best quarterback in his draft class, and he's supposed to be a generational talent. Jaden Daniels outplayed him, and also Bo Nix outplayed him as well, and you could argue maybe a few other quarterbacks outplayed him too. Then you said, we're going to revamp the entire offensive line. We're going to go trade for Joe Tooney. We're going to go sign Drew Dolman. We're going to go trade for Jonah Jackson, who was last under Ben Johnson's tutelage. He made a Pro Bowl. Then in the draft, even though I didn't think that they should have taken Colson Loveland, I thought they should have taken Tyler Warren. They drafted Colson Loveland. And then with their second selection, they also got Luther Byrd in the third, who's a wide receiver out of Missouri, who many people thought should have been a first-round talent. So now you have DJ Moore. You have also Roma Dunze hopefully breaks out this year. And you got Luther Burden. This is a Chicago team that if it's not now, then when, in terms of feeling good about your coach and your quarterback? And also, I think the Pope is a Bears fan. I don't know if the Pope is a Bears fan, but the Pope is from Chicago, all right? I saw Annie Agar say, we got an American-born Pope first and a Pope from Chicago before the Bears could get a 4,000-yard passer in the history of their franchise. Isn't that something?
Well, you may have taken my pick for another segment we were supposed to do.
Oh, the Bears finding a quarterback? Well, here's the beauty of it, Samther. We have 25 minutes until we're supposed to do something that we were supposed to do here. Now we're going to delay it 25 minutes. So you have 25 minutes to come up with a new one.
I had a list of seven, so I'm good.
I always have a list,
but that was the one I was going to go with.
All right, well, you throw it away now. Anyway, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What are we supposed to talk about next? We'll see if we'll stick to it. Oh, it's onside, offside. We got some questions. I'll give you some answers. We'll see if we'll stay on script. It's usually better when we go off script, but we come on back to you on your radios in 5 minutes.